A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
I'm actually nervous that we're trying to start for the first time, I think, ever. Do you know what I mean?
Well, what do we normally do?
Just talk.
Yeah, that's it. That's what starting is, isn't it? It's okay. Just talking.
Well, we did all meet up, didn't we? We all gigged together. This week?
Yes.
Yes. Yes, we did. We went to Birmingham.
I mean, when this podcast comes out, that was a while ago.
Guess what?
Yeah. Because we tend to talk in the present.
What do you want to do? Talk about what's happening in the next week?
I just want to contextualize it for the people that are listening to it that went to Birmingham going, well,
Wait a minute.
Was not last week. That was 3 weeks ago.
Because they're all going to know the jig is up. You guys are lying. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Welcome to Women Talking Bollocks, a podcast where you'll hear, well, three women talking utter bollocks. What you won't hear is anyone nattering on about fashion, makeup, diets, or those blinking Kardashians. I'm not even sure I know who they are, if I'm honest. But what you will hear is some uplifting, irreverent chat with myself, Jen Brister, and my two very dear friends, comedians and women, the very wonderful, if slightly eccentric, Maureen Younger, and the dashing, kind charisma bomb that is Alison June Smith. But yes, we were all together in the room, and then Alison and I have been away together again on a little mini break together.
That was in the same week.
Yes, it was in the same week, because at the beginning of the week you're in Birmingham, and then at the end of the week we were in Leicester and Sheffield. Well, the Sheffield kind of went into this week. But anyway, let's not be pedantic.
What is happening with time? It's going so fast. All right, sorry, sidetrack.
But we stayed in a very nice hotel. Jen splashed out, didn't you, Jen?
I did. I put Maureen up in the Grand in Birmingham, because that's the kind of friend I am.
She told me you really enjoyed it. What did you enjoy most about it, Maureen?
You got a free chocolate bar.
A full size chocolate bar.
What did I tell you? So I said to Alison said to me, so did Maureen enjoy her stay at the hotel? I said, she really did. She really did. And I think the thing that she enjoyed the most, bearing in mind that we're staying in a very expensive hotel, was that she got a free chocolate bar. So she could have been in a travel lodge. But if you'd have stuck a Dairy Milk in there, oh my days.
Maureen
would have been like a pig in poo.
Yeah, it was a very nice hotel. Chloe didn't think I'd notice. I did notice. Had a lovely bar, but unfortunately by the time we got back, the bar was closed. So we didn't get to enjoy the bar.
We didn't get to sit in. Maureen was going to have a pina colada and I was going to have...
An old gentleman.
Maureen calls an old gentleman, but it's actually not. It's an old-fashioned. I've said to her time and time again, I don't want an old gentleman. Please don't order an old gentleman for me at the bar. And my friend will have an old gentleman. So, you know, there's always a couple at the bar propping it up, like thinking, what? I'm in luck with that leather in the corner.
I'm 50% right, aren't I? Because, you know, the old bit's right.
Yeah. Well, that's it. You're only ever 50% right about anything more than that.
You've been existing on
50%. Whenever Maureen says anything, just go, half of that is correct.
Yeah. By the way, Jen's already seen this, but Alison, I'm doing some knitting. Got a new knitting. And look at this. It's really great for a podcast. But I'm doing this kind of mock cable stitch.
Oh.
So complicated. Maureen showed me the pattern. My brain shut down. I said to her, this looks like some sort of insane algebraic equation. And I honestly, Alison, I couldn't
fathom it.
Your other one was all lacy. It looked really fancy, the one you just did recently.
Yeah, that was lacy.
I mean, this is a podcast. What are we doing? Look at that, she said into a microphone. Medium.
This one should be on our Patreon, and then you can get to see my knitting.
We're not even on YouTube, guys, and we're fucking giving a look at that.
I've impressed myself. I had to go to YouTube to find out how to do that stitch. I'd never done that stitch before. It's a TW3, in case you were wondering.
Oh, TW3. Thank God you told me. Thank God. Yeah, TW3. Do you remember TWA? That was an airline back in the day. Do you remember TWA?
Yes.
You're going to like us. TWA.
Along with Pan Am. Pan Am.
Yes, well, we don't speak of Pan Am post Lockerbie. Okay. But yes, these are... We used to have an advert for Air Canada, Alison.
Did you?
Maureen, do you remember this advert?
No.
It went like this. Air Canada, you won't want to get off. Do you remember that? Anyone remember that? WTB listeners who are about my age or older, do you remember the Air Canada advert? There'd be a guy and he would be on the plane and then all these really hot Canadian, you know, flight attendants would be like... I think you've got to get off. And it's like, Air Canada, you won't want to get off. Because he's having such a fun time on the aeroplane, as we all do, you know. Oh.
He wasn't flying economy.
He absolutely was not. He had his feet up for a start. I mean,
come
on.
No.
Read the room, guy. Anyway, you can Google that. I'm sure it's on YouTube.
I'm going to find that.
As well as the TWA. Isn't it? These adverts are decades old.
Old. It's like Cadbury's chocolate, you know, flake.
Stuck in my head.
Advert.
Oh, well, that was Miriam, wasn't it?
Yeah, and what was the other one? Fruit and Nutcase. Everyone's a Fruit and Nutcase.
Everyone's a Fruit and Nutcase.
And I was in Moscow watching the Bolshoi. And that,
of course.
As you do. And that music, because it's a classical music, I think it's Tchaikovsky, I might be wrong. But anyway,
It's from the Nutcracker, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like Tchaikovsky then. And it came up, and all the British students stopped. This is at the Bolshoi, so I was singing, Everyone's a Fruit and Nutcase.
I mean, shocking. Tchaikovsky plays, and everyone's singing, Everyone's a Fruit and Nutcase.
Only the Brits.
Dear, oh dear. Absolute Philistines. Anyway, sorry, we got completely sidetracked by adverts from the 1980s that only appeared in the UK.
I was going to say, because it also sounds to me like you could be making them up right now and I wouldn't know.
Yeah. No.
Do you know what's a really good one? And I'm going to send you, Alison, the link. It's for a Berlitz thing and it's the German Coast Guard and there's a ship sinking. And so they do Mayday, Mayday, sinking, we're sinking, we're sinking. And the German Coast Guard goes, what are you thinking about?
Very good. Very good. I mean, there's people in rooms coming up with this shit.
And that's a really good advert.
I'm laughing at that right now.
What are you thinking about?
Do you know what? I think I've sent you the link to it.
That quite tickled me. Yeah, that is
really funny. What are you thinking about?
Well, that is what advertising is supposed to do. It's like supposed to get in your ear. And stay there.
It's like the Leonard Rossiter and Joan Collins.
Cinzano. That will mean nothing to you. Also, you can't see my facial expressions, which were very accurate for Leonard Rossiter. Wouldn't you agree, Maureen?
Yes, perfect, Jen.
Anyway, I'm so sorry about that. We've gone down an 80s wormhole that absolutely no one is interested in. For all our Gen Z listeners.
All two of them. What is Gen Z, by the way? What age is that?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's like people in their 20s, isn't it, are Gen Z? Am I right?
Isn't Gen X?
I'm Gen X.
Are you Gen X?
Yeah, I'm Gen X. Gen X is up until 1970. It's like 1960 something or 50 something to 1970 something. 76 or 77. I think it goes up to 77 or something.
Yeah.
Or 78.
Yeah. Cause...
And then from 79 onwards, you're a millennial.
But isn't that what Gen Z is? Isn't Gen Z in between Gen X and millennial?
Gen Z is after millennial. Because it's XYZ.
Yeah.
Well, millennial is the Y and the Gen Z is the Z.
Yeah.
And then my boys are Gen A.
Oh. We're starting again?
We're starting again, apparently. I don't think we went right at the beginning of the alphabet.
No, we didn't.
It just went boomer, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z, Gen A.
We didn't think it through. Yeah.
Anyway, again, sidetrack. How? Let's. Maureen, how's your week been? We haven't even asked you.
Yeah.
Tell us
how
about your. Tell us in depth about. Look at.
This
look
is
at very... Alex. Alex is like, this has gone on for too
Pick
long.
Pick this
Move
up.
It.
Are you
Pick
guys really going to talk about the week now?
Is it? It's too late to go into the week.
Yeah, because we've talked 10 minutes.
Just make it quick.
I feel we spent a long time on TWA.
Adverts. We could do fast. Let's do fast weeks.
Do you know, okay, this is a thing that really only comics will understand. Well, it's not only comics understand. Did a gig on the Thursday, and it's a gig that me and Jen don't like, but Alison likes. We won't talk about it on air. where me and Jen perform, and you feel like, sorry, these are jokes. You meant to laugh at the punchline. Mm. Anyway, it's very hard work. And then on the Friday, I did a gig where, honestly, I could have said the sky is blue. And they would have been in utter hysterics. It just goes to show. It was amazing. And you're just like, it's so, you know, the same set, more or less in the same order. And it's such a different reaction. That is the joy of stand-up.
Yes, it is the joy of stand-up. I phoned up Maureen to tell her about death I had on Saturday. Literally could have heard a pin drop. I did a show in North London. It was quite honestly, and I've been on tour, so I haven't really been doing many gigs outside of that. And I think I'd become deluded in thinking I was good at stand-up comedy. Anyway, that gig proved to me, no, Jen, you need a little bit of extra work there. But it's quite funny when people just don't like what you do or don't get it. They just don't get it. They're like, I don't get what you do and it doesn't, it's not for me. And it doesn't really matter what you do. They're going to stare at you blankly and blink, you know, every 30 seconds.
Yeah,
I knew it was bad, Alison, because Jen was probably on the phone for like 10 minutes before I could get a word in, which is almost impossible.
That is not even
that
true.
That is true, Jen. That is
Maureen,
true.
That isn't true because I didn't even have that much to say about it. You were asking me loads of questions. I didn't. I just said I had a really bad gig and you said, where was it? And I said, North London, predominantly quite a conservative audience. And you were like, well, don't worry about it. You made it out. It's bearing in mind, I was happy to talk for 10 minutes. Sometimes, Maureen, you do exaggerate.
I do not.
Okay, fine. Right, let's edit that last bit out because it wasn't necessary. Okay, Alison, what have you been up to this week?
I want to shout out a really nice thing happened this week. In all my years of doing stand-up, nobody has ever been this kind. The trains were messed up. What are the odds in this country that the trains were messed up? And I was going to go work with Jen in Leicester, and I was in Newcastle the night before. And the gentleman, Psychic Stu, I'm giving you a shout out. You are the nicest human I've ever met. Drove me from Newcastle to Leicester.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And then back.
Went back. Yeah.
It's like a 7-hour round trip for this guy.
That is quite honestly the nicest thing anyone has ever done, ever, ever. So, yeah, angels are out there, everyone. Angels are out
so
there.
Lovely. Yeah. It was so lovely that you, because the day had started so badly. I didn't have a great day either that day.
I dropped my coffee. Oh my God.
I ripped my jeans. Remember?
Oh, yes. That was a really funny text you sent me.
Jeans.
I ripped my jeans right on the crotch. Absolutely. Like vertically from thigh to, anyway, it doesn't matter. But the point is, quite a big hole there, wasn't there, Alison?
There was.
But fortunately, no one was looking there, so it didn't matter. Alison, I very much enjoyed hanging out with you this week.
It was really fun.
You know, we can chat more about it later, but essentially all we're doing is comedy, so who cares? But let's find out for Maureen Younger. Maureen Younger, dear God, it is time to hear your Bima Money moment.
I messaged Jen. I have just put olive oil in my eyes. Going, why is it so blurred?
I mean, you can't make this shit up, can you?
It was fine in the end, but I wouldn't recommend it.
No,
you wouldn't recommend it, Maureen.
Well, this time it's to do with the gig we did in Birmingham together. Now, Jen's going to deny this, but she told me it was at the Alex, right? Jen says she didn't, but she did. Originally.
I've never heard of this theatre, Maureen.
Anyway.
Maureen has been telling me that I said to her to go to a theatre that up until the point of this end of this story, I didn't know existed.
Anyway, moving swiftly on to my story.
Yes. Well, you slander my name, Maureen. Please, if you're going to do it, accept some responsibility.
No, you did tell me it was the Alex. Anyway,
I can't have told you it was the Alex, Maureen. I don't know. I've never heard of that theatre. I literally texted. Well, Alison, where did I tell you to go? Did I tell you to go to a theatre that I didn't know existed?
No. But no. I Google. I just Google it before I...
No, anyways. Yeah. So in my head, it was the Alex.
I had
friends giving them comps. I told them it was the Alex. Anyway, and Jen mentioned when we were in Birmingham something about the Town Hall. We've got to go to the Town Hall. I thought, we've got to go there.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, I thought we were going to the Town Hall on the way to the Alex. So I didn't really question. I was like, this is a bit weird. But anyway, she mentioned it once or twice. Didn't really think about
it. Yes, I mentioned it once or twice in that that is where we were going to do our performance.
No, you didn't add that bit. But you just said the Town Hall. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Why would I say we're going to the Town Hall
That's what I was asking.
Well,
anyway.
Why didn't you ask me?
Because I was like, oh, whatever. Anyway, we come out. We're going off to the Town Hall.
We're going to the Town Hall at the time of when the show starts. Maureen?
And then I went, oh, isn't it at the Alex? She went, no, it's at the Town Hall. I never told you it was the Alex. Anyway, basically the conversation we just had. Anyway, and I still had friends who were going to the Alex because I'd obviously messaged them to go to the Alex. And I should have told them straight away, but I didn't. I thought, oh, I'll tell them when we get to the venue. Then we did a sound check. That was interesting. Then a guy came and gave us coffee. I thought, oh, I better tell them. And luckily, one lot had already Googled it and realised it was the Town Hall. And the other bunch of friends, I didn't actually say the Alex. I said we were performing in Alexandria, which is a city in Egypt. So they'd obviously realised that if we were going to perform in Egypt, we probably wouldn't go via New Street. So they Googled it as well. So so basically, long story short... I told one person it was the Alex. Told another person it was a city in Egypt, and it was in fact the Town Hall.
Yes.
Oh, take deep breaths and
quite something, Maureen. But look, you. It's good that you've had these conversations on your own in your own head.
I like that it was a real treasure hunt for your friends to find you. That's what I like. You got friends all over Birmingham being like, there's a show in the city.
Even better, one of the friends, they had her down as Nora. And that's not her name, so she couldn't get in. Eventually we got her in, but yeah, that was...
I want you to know that at no point have I been involved with any of this. Okay? I have not been involved with any of this. Because I told you it was a Town Hall, and I hadn't heard from you to say that you didn't know it was a Town Hall or you thought it was somewhere else. I just assumed that you knew it was a Town Hall because I'd done this thing of telling you, and I didn't know that you didn't know that me telling you was me telling you. I thought that you knew that, but next time I'll tell you as I'm telling you that I'm telling you so that you know that I've told you, because otherwise if I don't tell you I'm telling you, you obviously don't know that I've told you. So that was my mistake. I
so
see that
now. It was
your
fault.
Originally, I didn't see it that way. But now I see it that way. And you're right. I shall take full responsibility in future to make sure that I'm telling you I'm telling you what I'm telling you. Alison, you got there. And that's great.
You know what? Because I'm realizing my motto in life is trust no one, Google everything. I think that's what I live by now. Too many people have a lot of stuff going on. I'm just going to double check.
Well, we've got two more shows, which I'm doing with Alison and Maureen, coming up in the next couple of weeks.
I believe one is in Alexandria, which I'm really excited about.
Actually, by the time this comes out, it's happening in the next couple of days or the next few days. And I will endeavour, Maureen, to put it in writing to you to let you know exactly. But
one's the Royal Exchange, isn't it?
Yes. Well, this is what I was going to do. One is the Royal Exchange.
Should we publicly say it now?
I'm saying it publicly. Okay. And the other one is the Nottingham Playhouse. And I'm just going to, because there's a public record. Yeah. Because what I've realised is that conversations I have with Maureen are ephemeral and they disappear into the ether, as most conversations do. And no one is aware. There's no evidence to back up anything that I'm saying. Hence the conversation we were having earlier about how I ranted for 10 minutes, which was not true. And now the Alex Gate. We're going to call it Alex Gate. Yes.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. The Alex Gate.
Well, the Alexandrian Gate. Sorry.
sounds like something you could pay to go and see.
in Berlin or something.
But not near New Street.
Well, so that's quite a good beam on Maureen, I would say, this week, isn't it, Jill?
Yeah. You threw a lot of people off. Yeah. A whole shitload of people thrown off by this week's.
It's a good job I was with you, because I would have been at the Alex going, where was everyone?
Yeah, where's it? I've never heard of the Alexandria. I don't know why Jen told me to come to the Alexandria. Oh, God, I love it. Patrons,
well,
everyone.
There listen. We go. Being Maureen's friend is sometimes difficult, but we plow on through.
We get
but
there.
We're always on the same page, Jen, isn't it? It's like magic. We're so good friends that we just, you know. We don't need to say anything. We don't need to say anything. We're all on the same
it's
page.
It's like ESP, isn't it? It's ESP. Yeah. That's what I like about us. We're just sort of like just picking up on each other's vibes. I think Jen keeps saying the town hall, but I know
but
what she
actually means. The Alex.
I know what she means.
I know what she really wants. She wants the Alex.
We're going to Egypt. We're going to Egypt.
Maureen, once again, thank you very much for being a Maureen moment. It was actually a bit of a classic. very frustrating to listen to, actually, because I was involved in this one. But... but anyway, nonetheless, thank you very much. But it is time to turn once back more again to... Wow, that was almost English. Alison June Smith, and it's time to ask Alison.
Go to the gym, get it together, pay your taxes and stop eating chips. Take my advice.
Take my advice.
Take my advice. I ain't using it.
This problem this week, I think, is particularly amazing. It slides right from what just happened. Again, I'm not a therapist. I'm not an official anything. I have no training. Please go if you speak to real people. I have suggestions. I have things I've looked up on the internet. I've Googled it, everyone, like I do. Trust no one. Google everything. Okay, so this week's problem is... living with a partner that is diagnosed with ADHD, which is why I do think it goes nicely. So look, and this came from a personal friend of mine. Her husband has just been diagnosed with ADHD. I know there are a lot of adults right now being diagnosed with ADHD, and thus it does affect two people if you're in a relationship. So she was like, telling me about some of the things they've done to like just help him in his process, and you know, it really interesting. So I thought, oh, there's a lot of people. So here we go. Learning about ADHD and how it can affect your partner. This is an excellent place you got to start. So once they've been diagnosed, once you know, look, I can't learn about it. You got to learn about it. You got to, as much as they're learning about it, you got to learn about it. You know, it's interesting. People with children will go to all these classes and, you know, learn, you know, because they want to bring, but if you're living with somebody, your partner, same thing, learn about it. The more you learn about it, the easier it's going to be able to communicate about what's going on, maybe how it's affected your lives. And it gives them some relief because finally they're like, oh my God, okay, maybe this explains why it is that certain behaviors are happening. And also, I think a lot of fights sometimes happen in relationships. So like... let's say sometimes, you know, certain people with ADHD, time is a real problem. Running late is a real problem. And I know a lot of people get really agitated. They don't like it when their partners are late. But once you learn that it is something that is affecting them, it's literally impairing them and making them unable to perform at your required level or at a certain required level. So then you can start to go, okay, how do we make this work then? You're not aggressively trying to piss me off. I understand. So I think the more you learn about it, the better. So learn about it. Help them find treatment. Look, treatment is always going to include probably like medication, skills training, psychotherapy, psychoeducation. Depending on the person, the needs are going to vary. So support them. The more you support them in that, the easier it's going to be. Support them. But here's one thing. Avoid parenting them. Often what I have heard about is in some situations, you know, some individuals who have trouble like, you know, having structure and then they get a partner who comes in and can provide some structure. You want to support them. You don't want to parent them because that will not work long term. So help them to develop coping strategies. And I think this is really nice. talk about how you're going to speak or the things that you need to communicate. So then when you're talking about these things, it's not a fight. You know, you've pre-addressed it. Like one thing my friend's husband has trouble with, transitioning. So if something's going on and there's a change in plans real fast, my friend will say, in about 30 minutes, we're going to have to go do this thing. And he'll go, thank you. They've discussed this. So he realizes she's not nagging. She is giving him the timer that he's like, I need those sort of indicators. It's been a big, like, fixer-upper thing. So that's something to do. The more you talk, the more you'll understand. Think about tasks in the house, division of labor. Is there something that they're really good at that they like to do? Get them doing that as opposed to trying to, you know, both fighting about who's going to do what. And the more you can just fairly divide who does what better naturally, that's a good thing you can help someone out with. It's all about building self-confidence, being a positive, but again, open communication and really learning about ADHD. And I found two TikTokers that really opened up my mind to this. So I want to encourage people to go online and look. Now, they're on TikTok, but they're everywhere. It's called Rich and Rocks, ADHD Love. And they do a really good job of breaking down what it's like, because he doesn't have it and she has like pretty extreme ADHD. And I just love watching them. So Rich and Rocks ADHD Love has given me a lot of insight into these things. So I highly recommend you just go. And there's so many things online right now about it. But number one is communication. You'll figure out things. But, you know, this is a condition. Don't punish people. They're learning and you're learning. And how lucky are we that we all get to live in a time where we get to know all of our beautiful neurodivergent brains. So that's my advice.
Oh, Alison, thank you very much. I think what you said at the top is really interesting as well about if we have children that are, you know, neurodiverse and we go straight in and we're doing all the research,
we're gonna be the
we're trying
best
to find out as much as we can to be the best possible parents, but that's not necessarily something that we do for our partners. But I think the more you know, the more you can support, and also the better it will be for your relationship and for each other, not just for your partner, but for you as well. So
people around you, because of her awareness, she points things out to me. I didn't realize that I have a bad time with change. If plans change, I get worked up. I never even noticed it. And then she's like, did you ever notice you get like that? And I was like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And I was like, wow. Yeah. So it's interesting. The more we all learn about it, the more, I guess it's just a good rule of life. Like just.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then also it just, you know, it's sort of helps with the old empathy if you have a better understanding of one another.
Yeah.
And that we don't think that everyone's brain works the same way
like
as our brains do.
Or that there's a brain that everyone's brain should work like.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like there's some blueprint of how our brains should be or how we should behave or react in particular situations. So, yeah, I think that's great advice, Alison. And a top tip for all of us, whether or not your partner has just been diagnosed with ADHD or not. It's great advice. Alison, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
WTB listeners, just a little note to say, please do pre-order my special, The Optimist, which is out on the 21st of November. You can pre-order it now. It will also come with an audio version of my previous show, Underprivilege. It's through 800 Pound Gorilla, and you can get it and find out all the information in the show notes or on my website or on my Instagram or on my Facebook.
Hi, WTB listeners. I don't have a special coming out, and I'm not going on tour, at least not for the moment, due to popular demand. But I do have a book, and it's Christmas, so come on, what more could you want? It's called Prisons of My Life. It's the main character in a lot of the short stories is somebody called M. God knows who she could be. Just my vivid imagination at play again. And you can get it via Amazon. Link will be in the show notes.
Hey, UK WTB listeners. I am so excited as I am going on my very first UK tour. Take a look at my website and see when my show, Little Smith Sunshine, might be coming to you. Starting in January, February, and I'm sure I'm going to add more dates. Speaking of which, if you want me to come to you, let me know where you think I should perform next. You can get tickets at my website, www.alisonjunesmith.com, and that will be in the show notes as well. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to meet you all.
Sorry, Alison, I'm distracted by the fact that Maureen appears to be drinking double cream.
I'm not drinking double cream.
What are you drinking?
It's a cafe latte.
Oh, thank God. Sorry, Alison, let's be honest. It wouldn't be out of the realms of possibility that Maureen is chugging on some double cream. It is time now to go to something a bit more frivolous. Wow, words are really... Not
I
my
like
friend.
Frivolous.
Do you like frivolous?
It was like okay. A privileged frivolous. A privilous.
It's actually, that's exactly it is. I mean, this whole frivolity comes with privilege, which is frivolity, which is actually a new word that you'll find in the dictionary if you...
write it in.
If you write it in. And feel free to include that in the Collins gem. But it is time to find out what we have all been looking at with our eyeballs and taking in with our earballs and what we will now talk about with our tongue balls.
I'm sorry, okay, tongue Jen. Balls is too tongue much balls. Of an image.
Not a phrase I ever thought you'd say, Jen, but anyway.
Yeah, Jen, tongue balls.
I like the way that Alex is actually dry retching. He just did like a little dry retch gag. Anyway.
Never mind.
Sorry, Maureen, go on.
Well, I actually went to the Austrian Cultural Forum last week and I went to watch... I went to watch Total Recall.
Oh, yay! Right. Okay, well, that one cancelled out the other there, so...
Anyway, for those who don't know, it's based on a short story by Philip K. Dick, who's a great science fiction writer. And it tells the story of an ordinary Joe, or is he, called Doug, played by Schwarzenegger. And he's got a great wife, or is she? Sharon Stone, who looks very hot in this, I have to say. And he's bored, and he decides this is set in the future at some point. And in these days, you can receive an implant. Instead of going on holiday, you can just get an implant. So you don't have to go on holiday, but you can have the memories for it. So he decides he wants to go to Mars, and he wants to be a secret agent. And then something goes wrong, right, while he's there. And he finds the adventure really happening. Or is it? And as agents try to prevent him from discovering his past as a Martian secret agent, or was he? And he becomes involved in fighting. You're not going to understand the film after this, but who cares? He becomes involved in fighting for or against, who knows? Yeah. The scriptwriter knows, to be honest. The scriptwriter knows.
I'm so invested in this.
The regime of Martian dictator Kohagen. And honestly, it's lots of fun. There's a great plot. There's lots of twists. There's a large, large body count. It's done before CGI. There's some great one-liners, particularly when he kills one of the big baddies. And it's set in the future, but obviously everyone's dressed as if it's the late 80s, which is weird. And both Schwarzenegger, Sharon Stone and Michael Marsden are great. Totally recommend it if you haven't seen it. It's a fantastic
Quaid,
movie. Quaid! Yes, Doug Quaid.
Maureen, listening to you talk about...
I, c-
can't believe I've Total just heard Recall. You talking about Total Recall like it was some sort of obscure German expression of movie or something. At one point, doesn't the woman have three tits?
Oh yeah, there's a prostitute with three tits.
Yeah, there's a lady of the evening who has
three. Just remember that, Jen. And
it's hard to forget. It's hard to forget
because, like you said, it's not CGI, so everything was like handmade.
Handmade.
The scene where he's again, this is not a visual medium. I'm sorry, but you know the sound when he's Oh, it's so good.
It's such a great movie. I've seen it
such a long time.
Honestly, because it's Austrian cultural forums. I haven't been saying this to a Spanish artist, you know, as you do. And I was like, like this.
You guys are the most animated I've ever seen you.
Honestly, I was the only one who jumped. That's with my friend Steph. Go on.
This is unsettling.
I love it. I love this. Because it's on border, it's sci-fi, border horror, so it's really interesting for you to be telling me about this.
Because I kind of know it. So there was when it was happening, I was like, oh, I know what happens next. But it is actually a really good movie. You know, and it's got such great plot line. Because I was like, oh, is he? Is he? Is he? And I was like, oh, is he?
It's probably one of his better films.
Iconic, yeah. One of the iconic ones.
You know, because it was definitely had some twists and turns to it. And it wasn't just like,
You had to act. Come on, act a little bit.
I think act is perhaps over egging it a bit. Do you know what I mean? Schwarzenegger is very good. He knows what he is, and the part suits him to the ground. So
He's got three emotions, and one of those I'm pretty sure is constipation. but it's very watchable. Maureen, is it can you stream it anywhere? I don't suppose
I haven't checked, but I'm sure you can. Probably
I'm pretty sure. Just Google Total Recall.
And watch that one with Arnold. Don't watch the remake. I really like
it. Oh, there's a remake?
Yeah, isn't there a remake of Total Recall? Alex, why I'm not alone, right? There's a remake of Total Recall. Oh, yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I did not know.
Yeah, there is.
Do you know, don't watch that.
There's certain films like there was a remake of High Noon. It's like certain films, just leave them alone. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly, Maureen, and I feel the same way about Total Recall. I love that we are bonding over these things right now.
If you like a film, you don't want it to be remade, do you?
No. Yeah. Awesome.
Maureen, I was slightly blindsided by that recommendation by
me
you. I feel slightly off kilter. But equally, thank you very much for your recommendation. And actually, I'm about to go back on the road again, and I think I need to watch. Sometimes it's nice to watch a film that you've seen before, but maybe you haven't seen it for a very long time.
Yeah, I think just
that's
enjoy
something
it.
It's
a really enjoyable movie. That's what you want sometimes.
Okay, I'll check it out again. So brilliant. Thank you very much, Maureen. So Chloe and I don't know how we started watching this again. I think it was because I thought, okay, so basically we watched True Detective season three. Now, I've watched the original, the first season, whenever it came out years ago.
Oh, that was good.
Really enjoyed it. Tried season two. And for whatever reason, Chloe and I couldn't get into it. We tried it again. Couldn't get into it. So I said, because every series is a completely different story. You don't have to watch them in any particular order. So we watched season three. Now, the reason why we watched season three was because they were advertising it on Now, but they were advertising season four with Jodie Foster. And I was like, oh, that looks really good. And it looks very dark and creepy. And I thought, yeah, I want to watch that. Anyway, they were just, it was just a trailer. So it's not out until January. So I was like, I can't believe it. So we were like, okay, well, let's try watching season three. So we did. And this came out originally a while ago now. I think it was 2017. In fact, oh no, it came out in 2019. It wasn't that long ago. But it's set in the Ozarks. It's set over three different decades. And it's two detectives are investigating a crime involving two missing children. I'm not going to say any more than that about that. And it's set, part of it is in the 80s, part of it is in the 90s, and part of it is present day. And it switches from decade to decade the whole way through the series and through every episode. So you will see the journey of each of these detectives, their relationships, you know, how this case has affected them, how this case has affected each other, and where they are, not just in their careers, but in their relationship with each other and their relationship with other people. So it's as much about them and their lives as it is about these children, and trying to solve the mystery of these children. And part of it, the main detective, I mean, they're played by Mahershala Ali and Stephen Dorff. Yeah, it's and also Carmen Ejogo plays Mahershala's wife in it, and she's also fantastic, very watchable, brilliant actor. But also she's incredibly beautiful, so that really does hold the eye. but anyway, that's a side note. So yeah, it's kind of convoluted, it's kind of complicated. You're trying to figure out what's happening with all of these different characters, plus the family that are related to the children. They leave a lot of clues, a lot of crumbs along the way, trying to help you, you know, solve it along with these detectives. In the present day, the detective that is played by Mahershala Ali is, he has dementia. So you see him having these sort of almost hallucinations where he's, so you don't know if these are actual memories or if he's hallucinating. He can hear people talking to him in the present, like his wife who has died. She talks to him in the present and sort of almost gives him clues. But I think she almost acts as his subconscious, you know, when your subconscious has buried stuff in. Mm-hmm. And she goes, have you thought about this? And it's almost like she's pulling out these memories that he has buried or he has overlooked, but are now coming out to the forefront of his mind. And yeah, it's watchable. I it's one of those ones where you go, wow, you created quite a web here, and now we've got to the end. And yeah, I mean, seems fairly straightforward. Do you know what I mean? Where you get to the end and you go, oh right, okay, yeah. Well, I mean, that does actually make complete sense. But also, did we need this? Did we need the seven I feel like we could have wrapped this up episode one.
Yeah.
But the acting is really good, and it's quite nice to watch Stephen Dorff on screen again, because I don't think I've seen him on anything for such a long time. What was that vampire film he was in? Am I making that up? Was there not a vampire film he was in?
No.
Okay, never mind.
what vampire?
Was it not like a vampire film with
Blade.
Blade.
Blade. That's it. Blade. Is that not vampires? What is that?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Oh, it is vampires. See, you're wrong. I was right. Anyway, I can't remember seeing Stephen Dorff in anything since then, but he's a great actor. He really is. He's brilliant in it. And so is Mahershala Ali. He's brilliant in it. And it's kind of odd because you do enjoy it, but I don't know if I could recommend it.
Sometimes, you know, when the ending's disappointing, it was a bit like a Line of Duty, wasn't it? When you find out who H was and you're like, what?
I really was annoyed with that, but I know I kind of wagged on about that at the time, but it's not quite as disappointing in that, because the investment in that show was, how many series did we watch?
Oh yeah, it was about four or five series. Yeah,
I think we watched five series, didn't we?
And it was brilliant.
And it was brilliant, and it was thoroughly entertaining. But yeah, at the end, I was like,
it can't be.
You should have known who H was before we got to the end. If that was H, we.
We should have known episode one.
We should have, yeah. I mean, for heaven's sake, that's how it was with this. But the first series, and if you haven't seen the first series, and you're listening, well, obviously you are listening, otherwise you wouldn't hear these words. do watch it if you haven't watched it.
Yeah, because that was Woody Harrelson and Matthew McConaughey, wasn't it?
Yeah, ooh. Yeah, and it was absolutely outstanding.
Yeah.
Television. Probably, you know, HBO does deliver some of the best TV. It just does. The script is incredible. And I think series one of True Detective was out of this world and completely was one of my favourite series on HBO, frankly. But just that one series, really, because I think since then, like I said, I couldn't get on with series two, and series three was a bit meh. But if you haven't seen series one, then don't worry with series three or series two. Just just watched the first series because it's absolutely fantastic. But anyway, that's what I've been watching. And it was a bit disappointing because I was kind of, both Chloe and I were waiting for this. We sort of knew it was coming because we were like, they haven't tied enough of the strings up here. So we've only got one ep left. So it's got to be something reasonably simple. And it was. Alison, talk to us about the horror that lies beneath.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is interesting. So I was reading, I started to think about, okay, movies about, horror movies about ADHD, and I was Googling that. And what kept coming up was how a lot of individuals who have ADHD are drawn to horror movies because it seems to be one of the only movies that keeps them engaged because there's so much tension and there's so much that it is actually, like, a lot of people tend to get distracted. They can't follow. And I was thinking that. I was like, oh, my God. That's why I don't watch a lot of TV series, because I just can't stay invested. So I was like, okay, so Googling, you know, horror movies, ADHD. And you know what came up was the IMDb list of movies most recommended for ADHD, people with ADHD. So I'm just going to choose the horror movies off of that list. Ready? Here we go. Cool. IMDb's horror movie choices. Now, some of these, yes, I have said. The Thing. Excellent. If you're, yeah. Go with the original. I like the original. You can watch the remake, fine, but I'm a big fan of the original. Shaun of the Dead, as we have said before.
Oh, yeah.
So funny as well. It's fun. As, yeah, really exciting. Just has got the energy. Alien. The original Alien.
I watched that again recently, didn't I?
Did you?
Yeah, I watched it because it's on BBC iPlayer. Well, it was. I don't know if it still is. So yeah. I watched that again recently. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed it. In much the same way that I think I will if I watch Total Recall again, because I'd sort of forgotten quite a lot of it.
You forget bits, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, you remember the story, bits, but yeah.
And the last one, the irony of this, are you ready? Blade. Isn't that great? I was like, that works out great.
Alison, when I was saying earlier Stephen Dorff was in a vampire movie and you looked at me blankly, why didn't you come straight out with Blade?
And then I googled Stephen Dorff because I forgot who he was, and then I saw his face. I was like, oh yeah,
he's in it.
Yeah, but I wanted to save that for, yeah, that's fun. Hey, isn't that fun? ADHD, that all ties in. Yeah. We didn't even mean to do that, everyone.
No, that's great. Very good, very good.
Yeah.
So three classics there, and actually something for everyone.
Yeah.
It was four, was it? Was it four? Or
was
three?
It, it might have been four, yeah.
Oh, was it four?
The part. Thing, Shaun of the Dead,
Thing,
Alien,
Shaun of the Dead,
and
Oh, and
Blade.
Alien, sorry.
Yeah.
And Blade.
Oh, and four. Seven's on here, actually. I missed Seven.
Oh,
Seven.
Seven
is a great horror
that's
movie
a good
as well.
Movie.
Seven's a great story. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, Seven is also. And actually, I think Seven, Maureen, if you've seen Seven,
I've seen Seven.
It's a lot creepier than a lot of the movies that Alison recommends.
I agree. Yeah, if you
genuinely
can handle Seven.
I think Seven is a lot more, like, horror-wise, is a lot more. I remember watching it in the cinema. It really creeped the living crap out of me.
Yeah.
Anyway, brilliant suggestions. Absolute bangers. Thank you very much, Alison, for your more than one horror recommendation. We got four for the price of one.
Hey.
See what we're doing here? You're getting your value,
value
for money.
Yeah.
Value. Say value for money. It's free. But there you go. Maureen.
Well.
How are you?
Oh, well.
No,
you...
I haven't done it yet.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't done it. You've got to remember that I have to do this bit. We've been doing this every week for 3 years. I introduce you and I say Cultural Corner and then you talk.
Okay.
All right. Look at her. She's... All right, here we go. And now it is time to turn back to Maureen Younger, who has a corner and it has been cultured. And we've had to get the chemists in. Of course, it's the corner time that is often cultural, but sometimes just batshit.
Okay, well, you're going to like this. This is in the vein of Total Recall. I'm doing science fiction films that may not be classics, but they're maybe a bit naff. But you know, on a Sunday afternoon when it's raining and you just want to sit in front of the telly, eat a sandwich or some crisps. Obviously, I would be eating healthy food, Jen, because obviously I'm on a health kick. But these are these films, and they're from my childhood. Well, obviously before my childhood, because as we know, I'm 38, and these are from the 70s. But anyway, first one is Logan's Run. I don't know if you know that.
Yes,
of course. Logan's Run. Don't turn 30. Yeah.
Don't turn 30. Starring Michael
York. Everyone at 29.
No, 30.
Yeah, but at 29, you have to go on the run, don't you?
Yeah, No. So, Michael York and Jenny Agutter are in it. So, Farrah Fawcett and Peter Ustinov. And it's set sometime in the future. And what's left of humanity lives in a sealed city beneath a lot of domes. And it's apparent utopia run by a computer. This is obviously before people had to deal with computers on a daily basis, because if you did, you know that was never going to work out. But anyway, the people just enjoy themselves. It seems like it's a great society. And then when they reach the age of 30, they have to go on the carousel. And they're told they will be renewed. But in fact, they're actually killed. And I remember watching it when I was young, like a child, thinking, well, you're 30, you're ancient. Do you know what I mean? Now I have a slightly different perspective about being killed at 30. I don't think it's a good idea. And then they have these people called... and you get in your hand... Oh, well, you probably don't need to know that for the film. But anyway, they have these runners who go after... So people who don't go on the carousel and try to escape are called runners. And they have people called sandmen who pursue them and then kill them. And Michael York is one of the sandmen. He's killed a lot of people. But now he's turning 30. So he's about to be killed. And so that's what... He goes on the run. So that's what it is. But it's if you remember, it's a really great movie. Did you?
Yeah, I've seen it about 3 or 4 times. I've seen it. It used to be on telly all the time.
All the time.
But I thought he did go on the run.
He did go. He goes on the run because he's about to get killed because he's coming to 30.
Oh, because he is 30.
When you hit 30, you get killed.
Right.
So because they don't want it to be overpopulated, so they just get rid of 30. And to be honest, it sounds like conservative, probably in the Conservative Manifesto.
I mean, it's not far off, everyone.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, we're laughing, but it's probably quite...
If Suella Braverman becomes the next Conservative leader, guarantee that would...
Absolutely, Logan's
She'd be
run.
Advocating
She'd
that.
That's a really good idea, isn't it? Anyway, the next one is The Time Machine. I'm talking about the 1960 version, not the Guy Pearce version from 2002. And it's based on a story by H.G. Wells. And it stars Rod Taylor, who also had a bit of a crush on. He was an Australian actor, best known for The Birds. He's the lead actor in The Birds.
That was a film that creeped me out.
That is a really creepy film. And in it, it's Victorian England. And he's an inventor and he constructs a time machine. And I don't know if it's in the book or not, but they've got a very clever way of showing him going through the future. And that his house is opposite like a clothes shop for women. And there's a dummy in the window. And you just see all the clothes changing over the years.
You
know, it's a really clever way of doing it. And, you know, he gets very excited when it's the 60s and they're in miniskirts. And then he goes into the future where humanity is divided into two species, the childlike Eloi, and they're vegetarians as well, and the Morlocks, who aren't vegetarian because they feed on the Eloi. And he ends up with the Eloi and his time machine is gone. Anyway.
Or is it? Sorry.
Or is it?
I'm loving the callbacks, guys. Loving the callbacks.
And then the third set of films is starred one of my first, I think it probably was my first ever crush, which was Doug McClure, who used to be Trampas in The Virginian. I used to fancy Doug McClure like mad. American actor. I used to have a poster of his that I cut out of a magazine over my bed, stuck to the wallpaper. Anyway, the first one is The Land That Time Forgot, which is from 1974. And it's got a very British cast, apart from Doug McClure. It's got John McHenry, Keith Barron, and Susan Penhaligon. If you're British in a certain age, those names will ring a bell. And Doug McClure and Susan Penhaligon find themselves on a German U-boat, you know, as you do during World War One. And to make matters worse, they land on an uncharted subcontinent called Caprona, where dinosaurs still roam alongside primitive human beings. And so you've got Doug McClure having to deal with the dinosaurs and the Germans. So basically, he's a very busy man. And then, this is before CGI, so the monsters might... not look that realistic, that's all I'm saying.
But
it's from the 1970s. And then he did The Earth's Core with Peter Cushing, great horror actor. And again, it's a strange land, prehistoric times, and this time you're flying reptiles with mind control skills.
Sounds about right.
What?
Yeah, something we all should be worried about. Same with, like, that fluoride and, you know, microchips in our brains and 5G.
And then you've got The People That Time Forgot, which is a sequel to The Land That Time Forgot. And it follows a rescue expedition led by Patrick Wayne in search of his friend, played by Doug McClure. And they land on Caprona, and you get the idea. There's
an adventure.
Yeah, there's an adventure. But yeah, they're kind of great. They, you know, I think they're really enjoyable movies. I really like them.
Yes, they sound great, Maureen. I've absolutely no idea how anyone would get to watch those, but maybe if you live near the BFI, pop in. And
oh, they could be on YouTube. You never know.
Yeah, true. Yeah, they could be on YouTube. I don't ever even think to look on YouTube. Actually,
I know.
And you're very good at reminding.
Because there are a lot of movies on YouTube.
There's lots of movies on YouTube, yeah.
Sometimes they don't stay up there for that long. Have you noticed that? That somebody get uploaded and then they get taken down. But there could be stuff up there. So take a look. But those are all classics. You might have remembered them the first time around if you were, not Maureen, obviously, but somebody older than 38. Well, older than 48, actually, to be fair. Maureen, thank you very much for your cultural corner. I'm always amazed that you managed to come up with something every week because it must be really hard.
It's getting harder and harder. I mean, at the beginning, I was like, oh, this is so easy. Now I'm like, what the fuck am I going to talk about?
I know, but I have to say, you always come up with the goods and I'm always very impressed. So thank you very much.
I really think we've gotten along today, Maureen, in this episode. We've had a lot of, like, there have been a lot of, like, you know, kindred moments between us. It makes me really happy.
Maybe I should do German silent movies next week or something.
Oh, God, I'm out then. I'm out. We're doing so Allison, well.
We're all out. Mind you, if they're German and they're silent, who cares if they're German?
Yeah, how do you know? How do you know they were? Anyway, we've had a lot of fun moments, but away with the fun. Away with the fun. What is making
Let's talk
us...
to Jen.
No, I want to know. What's getting your goat, Jen?
Don't judge me. Now, you're going to be judging me now, but bloody well wait, okay? This is terrible, isn't it? That's what's got my goat. And do you know who I blame? Society. Alison, thank you very much for signalling that the fun has ended and no more fun to be had in this podcast. This is some serious stuff that we're going to be talking about in this section of the podcast. What has been getting my goat? Basic manners, actually. Basic manners. Just want people to have basic manners. Is that too much to ask? A little bit of respect, a little bit of... You know, just being conscientious, taking care, just noticing somebody outside yourself. Is that too much? I think that's not too much to ask. I think we're living in a time now where that's really, we're losing it a little bit. We're losing the basic respect for one another. If I'm going to be specific, okay, fine. All right. Okay, you forced my hand. You forced my hand and I'm going to have to be specific. Alison and I performed, I'm not going to say when because it doesn't matter. In the past, we've performed together in a venue. We're not going to mention where and when because it doesn't matter. But this venue, wow, was one of the worst places. Not facilities wise, actually. And the space was beautiful, right?
Yeah.
What a space to perform in.
Lovely.
But actually, wow. Wowee. It was something, wasn't it, Alison? We arrived. No one met us. I said to them, I'm doing a show here. And a woman said to me, verbatim. So, and I said, right, okay, it's just I don't know where to go and there's no stage door. And she went, well, go to reception then. And I said, oh, thank you so much for your assistance and help. So she worked behind the bar. So she was like, why the fuck are you asking me? I was like, I didn't know you worked behind the bar. You came out of a door with a headset on.
Yep.
That looked very important to me. Anyway, she went to the bar, muttering under her breath. I made my way to reception, which was manned by somebody that was probably between 11 and 13 years of age.
I would definitely say that age range, yeah.
She didn't know what was going on, bless her. She didn't, did she?
She did.
She didn't know what was going on. I had to fill in a lot of forms, so many, many, many forms, signings and formings. Then I was given a code, a fob, which I was told if I lose this fob, £25, by the way, if you lose this fob. I was like, okay, I think I can hang on to it.
Don't give me the fob.
Right?
Yeah.
Then you've got to go up a lift. Then you've got to go around a corridor. Then there's a code on the dressing room door. Fine. Okay. Finally make my way into the dressing room. Alison is also in the dressing room. Alison says to me, and I ask a question when I'm there. I said, so who do we talk to about doing a sound check? And she said, I don't know. And I said, oh, okay, does anybody know? She said, I'll find out. I said, oh, okay, great. I said, what should I do? She goes, well, if you just go to the dressing room. I said, okay, fine. So I get to the dressing room. I said to Alison, I don't know what's going on. I don't know how to get into the theatre. I don't know where the sound check is. We're at sound check time. The audience are going to be let in half an hour. Alison's like, I said, did they say anything to you? Alison, what did they say to you?
They said, no, you're here early. The stage manager isn't here yet. Go to your, dressing room.
This is an hour and a half before the show. Bearing in mind, we never meet the stage manager.
There isn't a stage manager, actually. In reflection,
there is no stage manager. So I said to Alison, look, we've got to do this sound check, because if we don't do this sound check, we can't get into the theatre because the audience will be in. And I don't think anyone's coming for us. So we make our way down. I forget my lanyard, so I'm locked out of my dressing room. Classic Brister. I'm already... I don't know if you can imagine what my energy is. It's quite
pissed off.
Annoyed.
I could feel it. It was.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I was like, this is unacceptable. This is unacceptable that I'm not being told anything, that no one has come to meet me.
And it's a big venue. It's not like some small little venue with.
It's a huge venue. Yeah. And I was like, no one, we don't even have water.
Nothing.
Like, there's not even a glass of water. Nothing. So we go down. We finally, we're asking people, do you know how we get into the theatre? The information that we get from reception is wrong, isn't it? So we go back to reception. She could tell us how to get into the theatre. She said, if you go around to door number two, there is no door number two. Anyway, we stop a random woman, don't we, who is an usher or something. And she's like, oh, I don't know what door number two is. I don't know what she's talking about. I said, I was like, can I get into the theatre to do this sound check? She went, yeah, sure. If you come into this door, that'll get you into the theatre. I went, will it be backstage? She went, no. I went, doesn't matter.
Just get us in the room.
So we walk in. There's two guys standing on a stage. We're like, hi.
And they're standing there like looking at us like they've been waiting. That's the thing that really annoys me. They're standing there like.
Anyway, long story short, we did the sound check, blah, 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 blah. And then I finally get back up to the dressing room. But bearing in mind, and then I say, is anyone going to come and see us? I said, can I get an ironing board, blah, blah, blah. It's some water, anything like that. They're like, well, that's not our job. You know, we're sound and lights guys. We're like, oh, fucking hell. I said, well, you know, if we could get a... He said, look, well, I'll sort you out with an ironing board. Fine. We don't get any water. We don't get any water ever the whole way through the show. Not a glass of water on stage. Not even tap water. Not even a glass. Not even a receptacle with which we could then get water. Fortunately, Alison gives me a bottle of her water because she's a kind human being. And she can see that she needs to douse the flames of this burning anger. The guy comes in with an ironing board. I kid you not.
No
iron.
I go,
put the ironing board. No, the iron's there. I put it up. It immediately collapses so that it is below my knees. I can't get it to stand up. It will not stand up because it's broken. So I have to iron my clothes. You know, obviously the cable's not that long. It's down to my... I'm ironing my clothes. I've got to do like a square centimetre at a time because the cord isn't long enough. I'm doing a little tiny corner of my trousers there. Then I have to move my trousers down. Then I do another little tiny corner. At this point, I think I'm going to explode. And just to say, nobody ever speaks to us the entire time.
We still haven't been spoken to from that.
No one has seen us. No one has said hello. No one has said, can I get you anything? No one has said, bearing in mind that the only reason that there is like about 700 people in that theatre is because of us.
Yeah. You're doing a show. Yeah.
We are not acknowledged the entire time we are there.
From start to finish. Walk in, leave.
Walk in.
No one has assisted us.
Walk in. No one says anything. Leave. No one says anything. I get told off by security guard for having a selfie in front of the lift.
With people that were excited. Yeah. You can't do that in here.
Sorry. What do you think you're doing? You can't do that. You've got to go outside and do that. I said, well, we'll just have a little cheeky selfie here. And he's like, no. I was like, oh my God. God forbid that we... He goes, this is our health and safety. This is a fire exit. I went... Oh my God, this corridor is really wide. And if there's a fire, I don't think anyone's going to be sticking around for a selfie. I think they'll leave. I know I'm quite popular at my own shows, but I'm not that popular. I'm just not.
When you sent me the WhatsApp message, it did make me laugh.
Oh.
When you told me about it, it was very funny.
Yeah.
Well, it
maybe not for you, but it was funny reading it.
Anyway, that's what got my goat. I said to Alison, I said, it's quite unbelievable to go to a theatre and for nobody to acknowledge your existence when you're doing a show there. It is the most...
It really keeps you humble. It really keeps you humble.
It's basic to have a show manager, isn't it? Particularly in a space that big. I mean...
Or front of house. Just to come in and say, have you got everything you need? Can I ask you a few questions? What? How do you feel about latecomers? How do you feel about this? How do you... Nothing. Unbelievable. Anyway, I was raging. Raging. I just couldn't even... I was so passive-aggressive with those poor sound and lights guy, wasn't I? Oh, God. I did feel a bit bad about that. It wasn't their fault. They're just doing their job. And but it was all fine because the show was so fun and the audience were absolutely delightful, as I knew they would be. And so it was actually one of my favourite shows of the tour. But honestly... I was talking about it, as you can imagine. And actually, in this occasion, Maureen, I was talking about it for 10 minutes. And Alison's going to jump in and go, it's longer than that.
It's all right, though. It's been 2 days for me.
The only thing that made me feel better is, you know, sometimes you get cross about something and people are like, "What are you? Come on, it's not that bad. Don't get your knickers in a twist." But... it was what was really great was Alison went, no, this is fucked up. Because I went, is this fucked up or am I completely mental? And you were like, no, this is totally fucked up.
No one.
So thank God for you, Alison.
We found our way there. We found our way to the performance.
Once the show was over, I said, you and I, because sometimes Alison doesn't really want to have a drink, but I was like, you and I, we're going for a drink. Okay.
Yeah, let's drink.
Okay.
Alison was like, okay, I guess we're having a drink.
It was fun though.
Anyway, that's what got my goat, and thank you for listening.
Women Talking Bollocks.
If you have enjoyed WTB, please make sure that you subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and leave us a little review.
Or you can check out our socials now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and you never know, we may even get on TikTok.
And if you do like the show, please do have a look at our Patreon for bonus content and weekly treats. Will that do?
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.